Welcome to this AHDB podcast, which is one in a series produced to tell the story of the work farmers, growers and AHDB people are doing under the umbrella of farm excellence. The pace of change in the agricultural sector seems only to increase as all farming businesses adapt to address the challenges and opportunities which arise from disruptive innovations, such as new technologies or the uncertainty created by changes to markets, here at home or abroad. AHDB's Farm Excellence Initiative is a national network with a local focus. AHDB say there's no question that farmers learn best from each other, those they trust, and adopt changes, including best practice, if they see them in action on farm in their home region. Welcome to this podcast. I'm joined by Jen Waters from AHDB Pork, and we're looking at pork strategic farms. It's an initiative that's been running since 2018, and so is just about a year old. And we're going to have a look at some of the farms that have been involved and some of the issues and topics that are being looked at. I'm John Bates, and this is the AHDB podcast. Jen Waters, you're the Senior Knowledge Exchange Manager at AHDB Pork, and you've been working very closely on strategic farms. Tell me a little bit about the farms that are involved and what the outcomes are that you hope to come from this initiative.
Thanks, John. So there's a number of farms that we're working with right across the country that represent the different production systems that we see in the English pig industry. And we're working with these farms, largely focusing around three topics. So we've got a section that's focusing on tails.
Yeah.
Tail biting, tail docking. We've got a section that's focusing on water, clean water strategy, how having a clean water strategy can improve growth, herd health, and increase productivity.
Brilliant.
And then a third one that's around what we call precision farming.
Yeah.
So it's about taking a broader look at a business and using lean management tools to identify areas of focus and then focus on those to work with.
Okay.
So that's kind of the split.
All of these topics then are about trying to give producers the tools that they need to improve their businesses.
That's right. So it's about looking at areas of concern in the industry and seeing how we can help our levy payers to improve their productivity.
So you've got 12 months under your belt.
Yeah.
How are things looking? What's going on?
It's been really interesting. We've got some outputs already and everything is pointing towards us digging a bit deeper and keeping looking at these topics.
So if you were able to give me an example around the three topics that you've talked mm-hmm. about, so tails, water and precision farming, could you talk me through some successes, something that you've seen that is encouraging?
Yes, an easy win, I guess, was around the water strategy. So we worked with a number of different farms and looked at their clean water and what the level of water is on their farms. So basic things like how clean is the water, what is the flow rate, if you're testing the water when it comes out of the borehole or mains, what is the water quality like actually when it gets into the pigs? And it was quite evident quite quickly that there were some easy wins that could really help improve the water availability and the water quality that went into the pigs. Pigs are very thirsty animals, and if you can get the water into them, that helps increase their feed consumption, which ultimately will help their growth rates.
So there's a win-win here, isn't there? Because I think what I'm hearing from you is that this is about improvement on the farm, mm-hmm. improvement in the business, mm-hmm. but there's actually a health and welfare aspect. There's that dimension
yeah.
as well.
Absolutely. And the healthier an animal is, the more productive it is for the business. So this is a win-win situation.
Okay, so I completely understand your explanation around water. Tell me about tail docking and those associated problems.
Well, tails is a very divisive issue. it's discussed an awful lot at an awful lot of different levels, and we are at the moment, DEFRA have been working on some new welfare codes of practice, which is going to make tail docking slightly more difficult for producers. It's all around them being able to demonstrate that they do everything that they can in their power to prevent the need for tail biting. And this needs to be demonstrable when farm assurance is on farm. We've created a web hat that we are using with some of our strategic farms to try and determine what can cause this vice.
You reference web hats. Just explain to me what that is.
So that's the husbandry advisory tool that sits on the HDB website. And the idea around this is you can create a scorecard, you can put in your own criteria, and it will provide recommendations on how you can best improve husbandry on your farm. It's actually a really useful tool, and we've worked with APHA to develop it. So when you are having assessors on site, you can use this, and you can use this to demonstrate that you have investigated everything you can to reduce the need for tail docking.
And how quickly do you think you will get to the point where you've made significant impact in the industry?
Well, the big challenge actually with something like tail biting is it's such a multifactorial problem. There's not one solution that can solve it. So actually, we may never get to the point of completely curing it. But what we want to be able to do, and as HDB, we aren't pushing for the removal of the permission to tail dock, but we want to be able to support the levy payers so that they've got all the tools available to minimise the chance of getting tail biting, because actually no producer particularly wants to tail dock, but the alternative of serious tail biting and serious vice on farm is much worse.
Sure, yeah. Where your third topic was around precision farming. Yeah. What are your ambitions in that area?
So this is a slightly more wider scope than the tails and water, which were very precise topics. This is looking at a business holistically, so the entire business, and using some management tools that are used in other industries, such as lean management and value supply chain mapping, which means you can determine the entire business, get a good understanding of everything that's going on, all inputs, all outputs, and then identify areas of weakness or areas of opportunity, and then focus on those to lead to a general improvement of the business. So it may be, if you can think of it another way, that if you did a precision farming technique on any business, it may identify that water is the topic to focus on, or tails is the topic to focus on. But it's much more broad brush, and it's allowing the farmer to find out those big areas that he can focus on to get maximum impact.
Okay, so we're sharing learning from other industries, and we're introducing that into the pig industry.
So I mean, this started, you know, many years ago. The lean management principle started in Toyota in the car factories, and it was all about making sure that you're not doing things for the sake of doing them, but that whatever you're doing within your business has a cost benefit.
I think that perhaps the listeners to the podcast may be just concerned about, so why does AHDB think that they can sort of tell me how to improve the business? And my understanding is that farm excellence and these strategic farms is really about peer-to-peer learning.
Absolutely. So it's not about AHDB coming in and saying, this is what you're doing wrong and this is how you should do it. It's about AHDB coming in and demonstrating different tools that we have available, such as precision farming, that then allows the levy payer to go away and identify the areas themselves that they want to work on. And then we've got the support around them to help them improve.
So as a knowledge exchange manager yourself, part of your role is this sort of hand-holding, is it, of farmers to help them?
I wouldn't even go so far as to say hand-holding. I'd say it's more facilitation. So it's helping the farmer identify where their challenges are and helping them solve those challenges. But, you know, we don't come in, we don't consult and come in and say, you must do this or you must do that. But it's just about providing support.
And our producers, are they very receptive to these approaches?
Largely, yeah. I mean, there's always going to be a mix. But yeah, I think they appreciate what we're doing, and they understand that we are not here to tell them what to do and what not to do, but we're here to support them where they need it.
And how often do you hold meetings on these topics?
All through the autumn and winter. So we we do it in the quietest times of year, so we avoid harvest. But we've got regional meetings going on, pig clubs, discussion groups, forums. So there's lots of opportunity to share this information with as many people as possible.
Jen, thank you very much indeed. That was Jen Waters, who's the Senior Knowledge Exchange Manager for AHDB Pork. I'm John Bates, and my guest, Richard Bowes, an AHDB Pork Knowledge Exchange Manager, is here to talk about Guilt Watch, which is just one of the sector-focused programmes designed to help livestock farmers and growers become more competitive in this uncertain world. Hi, Richard. Thanks for joining me. Briefly summarise Guilt Watch. When did it start and why?
Good morning, John. Basically, Guilt Watch, we started the project approximately 2 years ago now, and it's really to try and find out why gilts and young animals are falling out of herds, and really to understand the reasons for them failing, and then to obviously work with producers to improve that and to improve management of the animals, and ultimately get more from the animals and sort of improve their lifetime potential. And that should lead to a more profitable and robust and resilient business for the producer to go forward with.
So there's a welfare as well as an economic dimension.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. For instance, recently, Stephen Hall, who does all the database work for us, he actually highlighted the fact that if we can improve and retain animals further than we are currently, that would have quite an impact, as a buzzword at the moment, a carbon footprint. Because as a business becomes more efficient, then that does reduce the impact it has on the environment, as well as profitability for the business.
So how many farms are in the network, Richard?
Well, currently there's 19 farms within the project, covering 15 businesses all across England.
So you've been clear to talk about this is outcomes focused, that we're trying to have a major impact on the carbon footprint, we're trying to have an economic impact on businesses, but we're also trying to improve the welfare of the animals. Just tell listeners a little bit about what Guilt Watch does and how it works.
Well, basically, the producers that's involved with Guilt Watch are providing all their data so that we can analyse what's actually happening within the business for animals dropping out and what the causes of what they are, actually. So, it may be lameness, it may be breeding issues, infertility and returns, etc., etc. There's a whole list that we're trying to do. And the big part of the project is really to try and make sure that these producers actually are very accurate with their recordings. So it is all based on bona fide data. And so we've been working very hard to let the producers and get the producer to understand when they're entering reasons for calls, for instance, that we actually have the correct information as far as is possible. So then when we interpret the data, that is then accurate. And then we can actually help to put ideas forward either within the group. It's very much a peer-to-peer learning, so producers are sharing within the groups. We have regional meetings twice a year, and we have a national meeting once a year. So there's opportunity for producers to share what they're doing on their farms. And that's been a very big part of each of the regional meetings. And our next national meeting, which is due in January, is going to allow producers to speak at the national meeting to share what they're doing on their farms has had a beneficial effect on retention of gilts and young animals.
Okay, so I would imagine the last thing any producer wants is another layer of bureaucracy, some more forms to fill out and so on. How do you demonstrate that there's a compelling reason to be accurate, there's a compelling reason to be involved? What have you seen as the outcomes?
Well, I think a figure that's been put on the cost of a gilt is £250 to get that gilt into the herd. And to break even, Stephen Hall has shown through data that they need to be able to get that animal to farrow at parity 3. Anything before that, they're actually losing money, just on a pure profit basis. So within the data that all these farms, most of them are on Agrisoft, or Agrisys as it's becoming, but some have other recording platforms. So it's not exclusively one particular platform. But within their recording, it's really getting them to tease everything out that and be as accurate as possible. Whereas in the past, they might have put miscellaneous for a death or for an animal being culled. That for us isn't good enough because that just blankets what's actually going on. So it's very important that we have the correct as near possible. Occasionally there will be the odd miscellaneous where you just don't know what's happened. But that allows us then to feedback to them. And they're getting the benefit then and they're seeing that benefit of really understanding why the animals are being culled or lost from the herd and trying to then put things in place at management level and husbandry level that will hopefully negate some of the losses. And that can cover anything from change of buildings, numbers of animals, when they're actually selected, to nutrition and actually being able to feed them different diets that are maybe more suitable to actually prepare that animal from as low as 45 kilos. They're breeding their own replacements. And if they've got animals that they're buying in, a lot of farms buy groups of animals in, so they're not just coming in prior to service, they're coming in probably over a 9 or 12 week period of serving. So consequently, those animals need different rations, potentially, different amounts fed, et cetera, that will hopefully ensure that we're negating and lowering the risk of animals dropping out. We're giving them the best possible chance of having good lifetime productivity.
Okay, so I get the idea then that guilt watches are really about driving the quality of the operation, the yes, quality of the business, the attention to detail. Give us some examples then of real outcomes, real things that have been achieved in response to the additional effort that producers are making.
Well, I think it's sort of twofold that really. We've been able to interpret data from, even though the project only started 2 years ago, we've managed to interpret data from these producers from 2014. So we're actually basing the way we actually work the project is to put the animals into what we call a cohort. So we decided to have them in 3 month cohorts. So farms can be weekly, they can be batch, 3 weekly, 2 weekly, 5 weekly. So the easiest way really was to go for 3 month blocks. So any animals that enter the herd within a 3 month period, so January to March, April to June, et cetera, through a 12 month period, you then actually follow those cohorts through all their life. And of course, they can last up to parity 6 or beyond, depending, and it varies from farm to farm. So within that, we've been able to show the amount of animals that were dropping out from 2014 to 2016, and then also from 2016 to 2018. And we've managed to improve across the board. All the farms have actually improved their retention rate. It's obviously individually it can vary, but there looks like there's something like a 5% plus improvement across the board at the moment. Obviously, this is always ongoing, and I understand farms have particular problems at different areas. That can be seasonality, can affect farms more. So within cohorts, you can see different parts of the year where farms have had individual issues, and that could be down to seasonality. Or indeed, of course, health is a massive impact on any animal. So if a farm, unfortunately, has gone down with something, whether it be flu, PRRS, et cetera, then that will obviously impinge the figures for a period. But the fact that we're going through a whole cohort, whole life of a group of animals, then you actually can not only identify particular times of the year that may or may not be impacting on a production level, you can also see the full life of what's happening. So it's really showing the effects of a longer period and then teasing out those figures to see that actually the potential is there. And we've set targets initially within the groups, and they've all agreed to it as a target, of 85% still being retained by parity 3. And we currently have one indoor and one outdoor producer that are around the 82, 83% mark at the moment. So they are really getting towards that target.
Okay, so Richard, give me some examples of some of the practical changes that have happened on farm.
Well, what's come out of our regional meeting so far, for instance, is for the indoor sector, quite a lot of them have changed to actually feeding a guilt-free diet, and very often from about 60 kilos onwards. Whereas in the past they may have been still in the finishing, so on a finisher diet, which isn't that suitable for the animals. Some of them have moved to breeding their own gilts, so they're trying to really bring everything under their control, as against buying in gilts, have gone to own breeding. That doesn't mean to say that buying gilts from one of the companies is wrong, but for their business, they decided they wanted to bring that in-house. And obviously, they're probably still getting the genetics from a breeding company. They've looked at the pig flow, and very often the issue with gilts is that they don't necessarily have enough room within the pig flow and within the structure of the farm. So it's been interesting how many people are looking at improving that to make it so they can actually manage the gilt better. And rather than it having to happen because of, they're actually making the decision. And so again, taking control of their business more. And I appreciate it all comes at a cost, but it's all about return on investment. And I think the producers are seeing that return coming back very quickly, potentially, providing they can keep these animals within the herd. And then a couple of outdoor, in the outdoor sector, where you could argue it's slightly different, although I think indoors this could work really well, is that they're actually treating the gilt pretty much as a gilt. It's had its second litter because it's still growing. So the way that the nutrition is delivered, it's very similar to what the animals would have as a gilt, inverted commas, but going through to that parity two. And so not really classing them as a sow till that point. They're keeping extra gilts back where possible. So again, they're trying to manage it better so that when they do select the animals, they're actually selecting the very best. So it's not selecting by default, because they've only got so many. They're actually being able to really cream off the very best, so give them the best chance then, and not sort of lowering the standards at all. And where it's possible, some of the outdoor producers are washing arcs appropriate times of the year, or tipping them up to in the summertime to act as a disinfectant to try and just reduce any health challenges.
Okay, so there's some examples of some of the practical things that have resulted from this Guilt Watch nationwide initiative that AHDB Pork are currently managing. But with the farms that you're working with currently, you're seeing an improvement of up to 5%. That's a pretty good reason for why pork farmers really should sit up and pay some attention and perhaps consider whether they want to be part of Guilt Watch. If that is the case, are you recruiting in 2020?
We certainly have had a producer join the group this year. And I know going forward, we're going to certainly look at ways in which we can open this up to other producers that are like-minded, are already on an approved recording scheme, which is most important. We have to be able to interpret that data and it be shared between Stephen Hall and ourselves and the producer. With that in mind, then, there's no reason that I can't see that we won't be enlarging the group going forward, subject to appropriate restrictions and regulations.
Sure. I guess for our listeners, some will be indoor producers, some will be outdoor. Are the outcomes broadly similar from the work that's been going on so far?
Yes, indeed, yes. We've had, as I mentioned earlier, indoors and outdoor improvements, and the industry is pretty much 60-40 in favour of indoors. But so with 40% of our outdoor producers, we need to obviously represent them in the right way, and we're keen to have a good mix of indoor and outdoor. And so both sets have shown improvements, and the principles of pig keeping is very similar, with the obvious differences of indoor and out, but the actual reasons for pigs dropping out pretty much can stay in the same sort of areas. So with that in mind, it's very much as important for both sectors to be looking at, and they both pretty much have the same sort of dropouts.
So you're clearly enthused by the fact that Guilt Watch is being successful. It's producing results that producers can benefit from. if we just talk about the day-to-day job, so, you know, you're out there talking to farmers, you're doing presentations at evening meetings and so on. What's the reception like when you're talking to producers? And perhaps more importantly, how enthusiastic are they when they've actually been putting some effort around Giltwatch?
Well, I think like any project, I think it grows as time goes on. And I think the last round of regional meetings were excellent, and the producers were really open with each other, and they saw the benefit of talking to each other and being open about their businesses. And I think that has become a big part of what we're doing. The peer-to-peer learning was always in the hope that would have the most effect. And seemingly, I had some comments from key producers at the regional meetings along the lines of that they found the chance to talk, because we actually give them that opportunity within the meetings that we have. It's their time to discuss what's going on and explain what changes they've made, so that can be shared among that group, and we're going to transfer that to the national meeting. And they enjoy that the most in lots of respects, because it often farms, as we know, you know, they can be quite insular, and they think that they've just got certain problems going on their farm. And reality is, of course, is that it's an industry-wide problems going on, whether that's health or whether it's specifically something with your gilts or with your sows or with production levels across the board. And they've found that really useful. And, you know, I think there's, at the moment, as we're fully aware, you know, mental health is very important. And I think this goes some way to helping that a little bit, that people realise that they're not on their own. And it's all part of the scheme that we have within this project to try and share and make life better for everybody within that.
So if farmers are interested as a result of listening to this podcast, what should they do? Is there information available?
Well, I'm about to embark on a series of pig club meetings across the country. So hopefully if they can attend any of those, they are advertised on our events sheet. They're welcome to come along to those. They're open meetings that have been arranged by HDB. Also, of course, they can get in touch with their local KE manager to get more details about that, or indeed if they potentially want to join the project at some stage in the future. So please get in touch.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. So just to reiterate, if you are interested in more information about Giltwatch or anything else that AHDB does, please visit the AHDB website. When you get on to that site, there's a series of icons, and obviously if you're interested in the pork aspect of what AHDB does, just click on that pork icon. Thank you to my guest Richard Bowes from AHDB Pork. Thank you to podcast producer Miriam Druitt. If you want any more information about Giltwatch or anything else that AHDB is involved with, please visit the AHDB website. I'm John Bates. Thank you for listening.
If you've got ideas
for future shows
or thoughts
on episodes you've listened to, tell us what you think
using our short online form, which you can find on our podcast page or in the episode show notes.